This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for listening to the Evening Edition. Now, I was never any good at science in school. Physics, biology, especially chemistry, just not my thing. But the kids these days, they've got so much more than just a big, ugly, purple Bukukimia. They've got apps. Well, actually, they've got the world's first role-playing game that also teaches you chemistry. What's more, it's by Malaysians. Uma and Ezra speak with the creators of this revolutionary educational product and find out just what digital games like ChemCaper mean for the average Malaysian student. Check out that podcast once you're done listening to this one. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
Good evening, I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan, and on our show today, I'm discussing paternity leave. Now, paternity leave has taken some spotlight in recent international news after a few high-profile announcements by new fathers who've decided to go on paternity leave. In November last year, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg sparked renewed interest in the issue when he declared that he would take leave of 2 months after the birth of his daughter Maxima. And in more recent news, last month, Japanese lawmaker Kensuke Miyazaki stirred up debate about paternity leave in Japan by deciding to take a month off from his job after the arrival of his first child. Miyazaki said that his announcement was meant to draw attention to the issue in order to encourage a change in patriarchal attitudes, where the father's main role is to be the breadwinner and the mother the caregiver to the family. Miyazaki's announcement drew two opposing reactions, one side being appreciative comments that he was setting an example for a timely change, and the other side being criticisms that the young lawmaker was neglecting his duties to the public. Now, to bring the debate back home, should Malaysian employees be given the right to take paternity leave? For context, the Malaysia Employment Act 1955 entitles mothers to maternity leave of a minimum of 60 consecutive days, but our laws leave fathers out of parental leave provisions. Civil servants, however, are entitled to paternity leave of 7 to 14 days, and a number of private organisations do provide paternity leave to their employees, although it is usually for a brief duration of several days. Here's Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of Malaysian Employers Federation, or MEF.
In the Malaysian context, if you look at the survey on CAs having paternity leave, it is in the region of 2 to 7 days currently. Yeah, for those companies that don't have any collective agreement, when MEF do our own survey, it indicates that the average given to employees for paternity leave is about 2 days. Yeah? Of course, here the issue is the numbers. Yeah? Whether it should be 2 days, whether it should be 2 months, or whether it should be more than that.
So, without specific entitlements in Malaysian law, there's much variation in paternity leave provisions in our companies. Here's a quick look at the paternity leave provisions in some neighbouring countries which have made it a legal right. Japan has one of the most generous paternity leave policies in the world. New Japanese fathers are entitled to a paternity leave of 12 months while keeping 60% of their salary in Singapore. Employees may take up to 2 weeks of paternity leave, fully paid by the government, and in the Philippines, up to 7 days. So, is it time for us to make our paternity leave a legal right for Malaysians? In fact, why has paternity leave been left out in our laws? Here's Suri Kemper, Program Manager at the UNDP for Gender Equality and Women's Empowerment.
I think generally there's an assumption that when a woman gives birth, you know, she wants to develop a relationship with her child, and therefore priority is given to the mother to develop that relationship with her child. But I think what we tend to neglect as a result, and that's basically by default of the way we look at it, is that fathers need to develop that relationship as well. The reason why women are able to spend more time developing a bond with their children is partially because we have maternity leave policies, because there are policies in place which enable a mother to take leave so that not only can she develop a bond with her child after birth, but she can take off from work to look after her sick children, to look after her parents, and that's not necessarily frowned upon. But the same attitude is not applied to men.
Back to Miyazaki's case for Japan. Despite the country's generous paternity leave provisions, only 2.3% of eligible fathers took paternity leave last year. What could be the reason for such a low uptake rate of paternity leave?
There was a study that was done by the Harvard Business Review, and they looked at why there was such poor uptake among men with regards to paternity leave, right? Apparently, despite the fact that a lot of these companies only offered one-day paternity leave, there was a very poor uptake rate, very low, between 1% to 2% of uptake rate. So when they interviewed these men, so, you know, when it comes to the employer then says, well, it's not like I didn't offer. I have this one-day paternity leave on offer, but nobody's taking it up. So why on earth should I expand it? But when the researchers interviewed the men in question, these men said, well, it's not that I don't want to play a bigger role in spending time with my family, but I know that when I do apply for this leave, there's a sanction to it. You know, that my colleagues, my supervisors who grant me that leave then say, oh, well, you're not as committed. If you're applying for paternity leave, there must be something wrong with you. And so as a result, there's, you know, there's stigma to taking and applying for paternity leave for men. And they're seen as not as committed as their colleagues who don't. And so what they end up doing is then disguising their paternity leave under annual leave, under sick leave, you know, in order to be able to spend more time with their family.
In a while, we'll look at the paternity leave issue from the employer's perspective. What are their concerns when it comes to implementation? Stay tuned. You're listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition. I'm Umar Pagan Ampage Pagan. If you just joined us, today we're discussing paternity leave for Malaysian dads in employment. Earlier, we talked about why fathers need paternity leave to cultivate that special bond with their newborn child. But now we'll put on the shoes of employers. What might be some concerns when it comes to implementing paternity leave in organisations? Here's Dato' Shamsuddin again. He's the chief executive of Malaysian Employers Federation, or MEF.
In Malaysian context, the available working days in a year is not that fantastic. You know, after taking all the holidays, the weekends, everything, it comes down to about 200 days available working days in a year. So with that 200 days, of course, you have to actually maximize your operational requirements. Yeah? And we see that, say, for example, when you talk about the cost of one-day leave in a Malaysian context, yeah, it is close to 100 million. Yeah. So then, again, we have to do the arithmetic. In a year, what is the kind of birth that happened in Malaysia? It's about 500,000. Yeah. Out of that 500,000, you know, in the Malaysian context, the women labour participation about 48%. So if we take 48% of that, it is about 240,000 females employees that give birth on a yearly basis. I mean, give and take. Then if we multiply, what is the cost then to the employers, you know? So in that kind of situation, the maternity leave cost can be something like close to 1.4 billion a year. Just that alone, yeah? And that, if you translate into the total cost, is about close to 8% of monthly wages. Because the monthly wages in the private sector is about 18 billion ringgit. Yeah? So again, you know, as businesses, they would like to be very careful with their costs, especially when you talk about the current environment where it is very, very challenging for the employers.
To Dato' Shamsuddin, when it comes to developing a strong father-child relationship, paternity leave is not the issue we should be looking at.
The more important part is, how do you actually change your own behavior to be closer with your children or your newly born child? Yeah? You are only about 8 hours or 10 hours at the work environment. The rest are actually you spend at home, or you're supposed to spend at home. You know, this is again, I think, you know, awareness and also the creation of this so-called new culture is very critical. Yeah? I mean, personally, I have 5 children, yeah? And when my children were small, I'm the one who actually take care of them when they are very, very small. You know, feeding them and changing the napkins, things like that. And in the early days, we don't have this, what they call diapers, thing like that. But those are the thing. You know, developing parental bondage, father and children, does not mean that you must have parental leave. Yeah? And I think this, again, depends very much on the individual. But if we can make it as the whole thing as a culture, why not?
So besides paternity leave, what alternative solutions do we have to help fathers spend more time at home after the birth of a child? Here's Aisha Lassim. She's Head of Diversity and Capability at Talent Corp. Aisha suggests that employees could plan a better balance between work and family in family work arrangements, an alternative to the regular 9-to-5.
One of the tools that companies use in flexible working arrangements is to have job sharing, where two people share the same job. So it could be a full, 8-hour job, but it's done by two people. One might come in the morning and then hand over to the person in the afternoon. Flexible working arrangements is a lot of hard work and planning. Not all jobs can go on this mode, right? So job sharing is not for everybody. So you actually have to plan out and make sure that the job does not break during the busy times, because, perhaps the baton might be dropped when you're trying to hand over to the next person. So you need to find an appropriate time where the handover can take place.
Another family-friendly work schedule arrangement allows working parents to spend time with their families during school holidays.
We have this thing called a school holidays working arrangement, where we allow parents who may not have the luxury of taking long leave to take their children away, they may choose to work from home, where they could have, quality time with their children as well as fulfilling their obligations for the company.
After the news, we'll consider why paternity leave affects mums in the workplace and not just dads. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Well, you've made it this far, so you're clearly enjoying our program, which means you're clearly going to want to listen to more once you're done with this one. So go on and learn about the future, about using digital games to teach our students things like chemistry and physics and all of the stuff that you and I just couldn't wrap our heads around in high school. Just make your way over to bfm.my and search for ChemCaper.
Good evening. I'm Uma Paganampakepagan and you're listening to The Evening Edition. On our show today, we're talking about paternity leave, and our discussion has centered around ideas about helping fathers spend more time at home in order to foster that special bond with their newborns. But paternity leave doesn't just affect fathers. In many families, fathers and mothers share many responsibilities that go into running a home. So when both parents are in employment and only mothers get parental leave, these responsibilities are not shared out equally. Here's Suri Kemper again.
The UNDP did a study recently in 2013 which indicated that women who are employed, 70% of them have issues balancing work and life. And that's the biggest reason as to, that was cited as to why they did not want to enter the workforce. And the reason why they have difficulties with work and life balance is precisely because women shoulder a double burden, which means they take care of majority of the housework and the majority of unpaid care work. In fact, 75.5% of that care work is disproportionately on the shoulder of women. And that's why they need to remove themselves from the responsibilities of formal employment in order to be able to shoulder that care work.
However, when women leave the workforce after birth, their talent and expertise goes to waste.
Malaysia currently has a female labour force participation rate of 53.6, and that recently just jumped up because there's been a real, I think, effort by the government to push that number up. And in fact, 11 MPs sets out a goal of 59% for 2020. And one of the arguments for paternity leave is that by enabling fathers to play a larger role, you also then reduce the double burden that women shoulder. Because part of the reason why women refuse to go back into the workforce or into formal employment is simply because they need more flexibility to look after the family, to perform unpaid care work. So a 2003 study, this is a rather dated study by the Ministry of Women, but the study basically says that of women who are working, 78% perform care work. And of that, women perform 75% of the care work, whereas men perform 24.4% of care work. And that's unpaid care work. And so because women disproportionately shoulder the amount of care work, and that encompasses, for example, taking care of children or parents or disabled family members, that means taking care of the housework, taking care of the shopping and the, running the household and whatnot. Because of that, on average, women spend about 4 hours, 35 minutes per day performing unpaid work, whereas men spend about 1 hour and 26 minutes per day on care work. And as a result, because of that, they shoulder this double burden. And it makes it more stressful, and therefore you have a lot of policies that focus on trying to give women better work-life balance. But because a lot of women are stressed out because of this inability to have work-life balance, a lot of them choose not to go back into formal employment, where the hours are fixed. That's why you have women tend to prefer to work within informal employment.
To summarize those figures, women shoulder the bulk of family caretaking responsibilities, and the assumption that this should be normal is an implicit hindrance against their achieving high career ambitions, whether or not they've started a family. Here's Aisha Lassim from Talent Corp.
A lot of times when women leave the workforce to take care of a family or a loved one, it's often, again, the unconscious bias, are you not ambitious enough? The moment when that bump started showing in your tummy was like, okay, so she's going to take a few months off. So, you know, perhaps we should wait about having that promotion conversation with her.
To help women return to the workforce after giving birth, Talent Corp has introduced two different grants for employers to support the cause.
Talent Corp have two grants for employers who have welcomed ladies who want to come back to the workforce. One is called the recruitment grant, where if they want to recruit via their website or through headhunters and whatnot, 75% of the cost will be reimbursed back to the employer. The other one is retention grant. The retention grant means that when a career comeback woman stays in the job for more than 6 months, the employer is also rewarded because, you know, usually after the 6 months, you would probably be eased back into the workforce. We started this grant in March 2015 this year. There are some companies who, having heard about the program, purposely go out and look for these people, which is good.
But the crucial factor that would encourage women to return to the workforce would be reducing their burden of care work at home, which means that fathers need to share more of these responsibilities. But for that to be possible, a paternity leave that is of a sufficient duration needs to be introduced for our employees. And to work toward that goal, Suri suggests that we look to Norway as an example to start.
Now, one of the recommendations that have been made and that have shown success has to been to redistribute the burden of care work equally between men and women. And if you look at Norway, for example, Norway's policies were aimed specifically at redistributing the gender balance when it came to unpaid care work. And so if you look at their family policies, their paternity leave policy specifically targeted men. So out of 54 weeks that was given to parental leave, 6 weeks was allocated specifically to men. And it was done on a use it or lose it basis. So either the fathers use it or they don't, and it gets burnt. So a lot of men ended up taking that up, which by default then encouraged more men to take a play a larger role in shouldering the care work that was traditionally then performed by women. And that encouraged a lot more men to play a role in the lives of their children. And that also then saw and resulted in a lot more equal distribution of care work between men and women. And therefore, and what's interesting too, is that not only does Norway have a very high female labor force participation rate, they also have a very high fertility rate because women and men are able to equally shoulder that burden.
And there you have it, folks. That's our show today about paternity leave. If you'd like to listen again to this program, you can download the podcast on our website at bfm.my. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.